Welcome to Chris Fabry Live and one of the programs that I hope you will never forget. Two guests for you today who have composed a song that I want you to hear, and we're going to talk about the content of that song, the pain it represents, the injured people it is written for, and hopefully some healing will come from it. If you are female who has been in some way injured by a man, if you have been objectified in your life, I hope you will listen to the program. If you are a man who has objectified women, hurt women, particularly sexually, today's program is for you. And I'll say this here at the outset of the program, that the content may not be for all ages. We're going to talk about some deep stuff. We're not going to be exploitative, but at the same time, I want to speak openly and honestly about this subject. And you could put over the heading, you could put pornography here, you could put sexual abuse here, and some other things. So if you go to chrisfabrylive.org, you can find out more about the program, more about our topic today. And if you have kids in the car and you say, no, I don't want to listen to this right now, understand that, you can hear the podcast at that website, chrisfabrylive.org. But I do hope that you will be able to stay with us if you can. And maybe even tell your story and give your response to the song that you are about to hear here in just a few minutes. Here's our number, 877-548-3675. 877-548-3675. Nate McMillan is our producer, Ryan McConaughey Engineering. Trisha McMillan's our coordinating producer. And Hannah P. will be answering your calls today. As I mentioned earlier, the baby watch is in full swing. And we will keep you up to date with Nate and Trisha's next offspring. It'll be Annie and other baby. And also, we are watching what's going on in Nepal, another earthquake. There have been all of these aftershocks after the big earthquake that happened. And it happened there at a time when a lot of people were in church. And so there have been believers who have been affected, families, whole churches wiped out. In that country. And now a 7.3 magnitude earthquake. We've identified some different organizations that we trust. We've put it there at chrisfabrylive.org. We encourage you to pray and we encourage you to get involved if you can. And thank you for doing that. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. I saw a report today, I believe it was on Yahoo, and it had Bo Derek, the actress who starred in a 1979 movie, which was right at I was just graduating high school, and there was all of this hoopla in the article. Now she's however much older she is now. I think she's in a new film, and they're trying to push that, but she talks rather frankly about the exploitation that she experienced of her picture of not naked in these photos, but nearly running down the beach, and then other photo shoots that she had, and kind of took responsibility for this. Didn't push it off of somebody else onto someone else. She said, I did this myself, and you can hear in the conversation regret, questions, and perhaps she would justify it now and say, no, you know, it helped my career and all of that. But underneath that is this regret, and that's what our guests come to us with this song with, a lot of regret. In 1994, Michael Cusick began a journey of recovery from sex addiction. And in the process, he became heartbroken at the realization that, quote, we live in a world where women are treated as if their only real value is to gratify men's sexual desire. He came into contact with Steve Seiler, who is founder, producer, and creative director for Music for the Soul. And we've talked with Steve here before. Steve's an accomplished songwriter. He's nominated for 4 Dove Awards. You know his songs, Not Too Far From Here, Circle of Friends, I Will Follow Christ, and more. But his real, Music for the Soul, his heart cry now is to reach into lives of people who have been hurt, who've gone through pain on either side of whatever that pain is, and to speak into their lives. So I've asked them both to come on here and talk about the project that they got involved with. I want you to hear the song and hear from them. Steve, welcome back to the program. How are you today?
Terrific, Chris. Thanks for having us.
And Michael Cusick, it's nice to meet you. Why don't I just throw that question to you? We live in a world where women are treated as if their only real value is to gratify men's sexual desire. How did you come to your knees, become brokenhearted over that?
Well, first of all, it's great to be on the program, and the question really revolves around what you shared about what happened in my life in 1994. A major curtain was pulled back, and behind that curtain was hiding a Christian minister who was a poser, who was filled with shame, who was filled with anxiety and a deep belief that if anybody really knew me, they couldn't possibly love me, much less want to be around me. And I survived that, and I encountered the grace of God and a wave of healing in my life from addictions to pornography and prostitution and strip clubs and full-blown sexual addiction. And 21 years later, my wife and I, by God's amazing grace, are still married. And somewhere along that line, I just began to feel a weight of what I had personally done. But as I read everything from novels to works of nonfiction, like the book Half the Sky, which talks about the oppression of women, I became more and more convinced that this is an issue that we really need to apply the gospel to for two reasons. One has to do with the fact that women really have been injured in profound ways, as well as in sometimes almost invisible ways. And the second thing was that I see that men carry a mantle of shame that they don't know what to do with. And Christian men may know that they're forgiven, but there's this element of shame that lingers. And I think the biblical principle of what I call radical humility that we see in 1 John 5 or 1 Peter 5 and James chapter 4, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, that he gives a gift when we actually trust him with who we are. And so I started to kind of get this vision in my head and heart of, I wonder what would happen in the kingdom and God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven, if men began to say at different points along the way, I'm sorry. And that's why I wrote the blog post shortly after my book came out 2.5 years ago, where I chronicled my own journey. And as I was going so public with my story, I really felt the need to put words to this.
You are a licensed professional counselor. You've written Surfing for God. That was the book that came out a couple of years ago, Discovering the Divine Desire Beneath Sexual Struggle, as well as Somebody's Daughter, an Experiential Guide. This is happening in epidemic proportions. I'm thinking particularly of pornography now, and in younger and younger kids. So if what you're saying is true in your life and in this generation, it's only going to get worse as we move along. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think we need to find more and more creative ways to apply the good news of Jesus Christ to the situation. Because I think what's happening in the church is that we're often either not talking about it, or when we are talking about it, we're not exactly sure what to do about it.
Steve, when you got in touch with Michael, or you can tell how that happened, as I see it, music sometimes can come around the back door of your heart and knock in a different way and slip in unaware, where a book or a sermon, for example, not that those are bad, it's just music is a different part of the soul, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and when I read Michael's blog post, my first thought was, this is amazing. This is so desperately needed. And I immediately thought what I hear all the time from professionals out there is men don't read, at least not the way they used to. And I thought there's so many who need to hear these words who may not hear them unless they take another form. And of course, for me, that's music. So I thought we need to put this in a song and just give it an additional way to be shared with people. And what was amazing about it, Michael done such a beautiful job writing it, really was just sort of making it rhyme was my job. Other than that, it was really done.
So you want to speak in this song to the women who have been violated And this could be some kind of sexual abuse or assault. It could be trafficking. It could be pornography. And then you also want to speak to women who've not been personally wounded, but have had this objectification feeling.
Well, you know, we live in a culture. I like to use the analogy of a swimming pool. You may not be personally under attack or have been personally wounded, but if you're living in this culture, you know, we live now in what I heard one person describe as a porn-soaked culture. And if somebody's pouring poison into the swimming pool in the deep end, it doesn't matter if you never leave the shallow end. Eventually, that the water where you are is going to be tainted as well. And so I think that happens sort of incrementally. And, you know, to mix the metaphor, you know, we hear about the frog boiling in the pot, the water getting warmer and not noticing. I think that's what we've kind of done culturally in America, is the culture has become more coarse and more objectification is happening, and we become so used to it that we don't really see it. So yes. I like the fact that this song addresses that generality as well, because I think from a macro level, we're hurting everybody.
Yes. So if you're a woman and this has touched your life, I want you to listen. If you're a man, that's the other aspect of this, or part of the equation, because the song basically stands in the stead of all men and says, I'm sorry. And so I want you to hear this. When we come back, we'll hear this song. Michael Cusick is joining us today along with Steve Seiler. Here's our number, 877-548-3675. When we come back, we'll hear the apology, and I want to get your response to it today on Chris Fabry Live. The song is called The Apology. Listen to these words from Michael Cusick and Steve Seiler today on Chris Fabry Live.
I speak on behalf of all men who have wronged you. I'm your brother, your father, your uncle, your husband, your teacher, your pastor, or anyone else who has hurt you. I'm so sorry for how you've been exploited, abandoned, diminished, and despised. For all the ways that you've been disrespected, I apologize. I speak on behalf of all men. Grandfather, your cousin, your boyfriend, your neighbor, your coach, or your counselor, or anyone else who has used you. I'm so sorry that you've been violated, dishonored, oppressed, objectified. For all the times that you have felt degraded, and
Steve Seiler, founder, producer, creative director for Music for the Soul, and Michael Cusick joining us today, a licensed counselor, author of Surfing for God, and they put together that song called The Apology. Let me give you our number, 877-548-3675. If that struck a chord with you, if you have some reaction to that, a positive, negative, I'm not trying to do anything here. I don't have an agenda, but I want to hear your response to that. 877-548-3675. Michael, let me start with you because you wrote most of those words. You crafted this apology, and who did you hope would hear that?
I hoped that women around the world who have been abused, used, violated, dishonored, objectified, degraded, as well as some of the more subtle things like diminished, disrespected, and ignored, that they would hear that and somehow identify with it. And I'm so glad, Chris, that you said that you didn't have an agenda, because there are people listening for whom this might feel like a healing balm, and there are people it might anger, and there are people who want nothing to do with the song, and it flares up a hatred for men. But not only did I want women all over the world to hear the song, but I wanted a dialogue to begin where women begin to have a voice to be heard, what it's like to be a woman in the world where they're seen as less in so many cultures, but also for men to be able to, especially because of the good news of Jesus, to not have to hide their failure, their brokenness, their sin, the ways that men have, perhaps in profound ways, like my own sexual sin, but also in subtle ways, like thinking that women aren't as smart, or that women don't deserve as much respect, or that they can't succeed in business. So the dialogue is just as important as whatever healing happens. And I trust that God and the Holy Spirit will work and take people from whatever point they are in reacting to the song forward to where they can be free and whole.
Yeah. 877-548-3675. Your response to the song. I want to start in Ohio with Barb for a reason. Barb, go right ahead.
Well, hi. Thank you, Chris, for taking my call. And hello to Michael and Steve. This program is very near and dear to me because Michael happens to be my brother. And I just want to say I'm so proud of you, Michael and Steve. I've never met you, but thank you so much. I just listened to the song once again. I'm on the verge of tears. Just for every woman, for every female, for every girl, and even every male who's ever been abused, this music and these words are just a healing balm from heaven. And so I just thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I pray that God uses this to bring healing to many, many, many people over and over again.
Yeah. But see, it's one thing to expose, you know, your sin. It's one thing to say, I'm so sorry for this thing. It's another thing, Michael, for your sister to call in. I mean, this is part of that process, isn't it?
It is. I feel like I'm on an episode of This Is Your Life. But yeah, I'm in tears here. Hi, Barb. I love you. And
love you.
She and I both know one another's stories because people don't just become evil and act out terrible things without having terrible things done to them. Hurting people hurt others. And pain that's not transformed becomes transmitted. So I know the depth of your own wounding, Barb, and it means so much coming from you.
Well,
Barb, thanks
I'm
for
glad.
Your call. I appreciate you doing that today. And Steve, you're still there, right? Any comment about that?
Well, it's a blessing to hear Barb's comments. I've heard from so many women that this is a healing balm for them, obviously. That was a primary intent for us, and I pray that this can open up opportunities, like Michael said, for dialogue that will lead to even more healing moving forward.
Yeah. Let's continue from Barb to Florida, Chrisita. Hi, Chrisita, go right ahead. Your response.
Hi, I just want to say that I'm driving to work right now, and I couldn't help but to start.
Yeah, it hit you. It hit you in some place in the heart, and it's still there, right?
I didn't grow up with my father, and he just passed away last year. Hmm. And
Broken, Chrisita? Broken because of the loss or because of...
I'm broken because when I was a child, they sent me away to live with family members, and I didn't have my family with me, and I went through a lot, and then I have a couple of bad relationships with men, and it's just, I'm a believer, and now I know all I need is Jesus, but I'm still healing from that.
Yes.
And that's all. All right.
Chrisita, I want Michael to say something here, because I hear in your story all of this, and there's no way that we can know it. God knows it. You know it. You experienced it. Michael, what do you want to say to Chrisita? And because this has stirred all of this up.
I just want to say, Chrisita, I'm so sorry that you live in a world where you've been hurt and harmed by men. And I hear in your voice the deep pain, and I trust that even as you say that, you know, all you need is Jesus, that he's doing and will do a deep, deep healing work. And the beginning of that whole process comes from the words of our Lord in John 8, where he says, the truth sets us free. And sometimes that truth is a painful truth about how deeply we've been wounded. And as you're driving to work in this song, touch something deep. My prayer is just for God's comfort and peace to come. And if you never get the apology from those actual men who caused you pain and wounded you, just know that there are men whose heart grieves for you, and mine is one of them.
That's exactly why you're apologizing. And it's just like you're speaking from everybody. And it's just like, that's so beautiful. Thank you. Continue doing what you're doing.
Oh, God bless
Chrisita,
you.
Chrisita, I am glad that it touched you, that place, and that there is this emotion, because there are women who have had the same deep waters that you've walked through, who don't have the feeling anymore. It has just become this such a deep wound that they cannot go there. So in one sense, and Michael, correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I feel like there is real hope if that surfaces this quickly, hearing a song like this, then there's real hope for healing.
Absolutely, yeah. In many cases, we're talking about women who have literal post-traumatic stress disorder, and one of the profound ways that PTSD affects people is we become numb. We either become hyperactive with our nervous system, or our nervous system just shuts down, and I believe that music is something that can penetrate through that and begin to bring the healing. So, yeah, very much the healing begins.
Next up is Heather. Heather, go right ahead. You're on the program.
Thank you for taking my call. Michael, I just wanted to share with you, before the song even came on, or the segment came on with Chris, I was contemplating something that had happened to me as a young woman, and had found myself pregnant out of wedlock, and the father of the baby, he would just drag me through the mud, and contemplating my decision to give that child up for adoption rather than to let both of our lives be destroyed by this person, and how that injustice your son came on at a time in my life when I just thought that there was no men left in this world that could even have a heart for what it feels like to be a woman. And to experience all those things you talk about in your song, I've experienced every one of them, and I think most women probably do. Mm. But I just want to thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To give me hope that there are still men in this world that understand that women are people too.
Yeah.
We're not objects. We're not to be used and abused.
You're very welcome, and I'm so glad that God's using the song to touch your heart and give you that hope. And we as men, myself and Steve and Chris and other men, really do need to learn to trust by faith that we can practice and live with radical humility. And whatever is on the other side of the humility of our failure, our brokenness, or our sin, that's not what defines us. That's not the bottom line. because of what Christ did. So it's with a grateful heart that I just say thank you, and may Jesus bring more and more in healing and truth into your life.
Let's talk about that when we come back to the break. What does radical humility look like? What about someone who is married to someone with a sexual addiction? Now, what does love look like in that situation? This is Chris Fabry Live on Moody Radio. Find out more about our subject today at chrisfabrylive.org. Michael Cusick and Steve Seiler joining us. This is Chris Fabry Live on Moody Radio. Not for all ages today, because we're talking about sexual abuse, pornography, and other issues, and men and women. But I think that this program is going to bring up some questions for younger listeners, or maybe teenage listeners, that will be good to talk with about with your kids. And if you think, I'm going to listen to this later and come back to it, more power to you on that. If you heard this, if you didn't hear the song and you want to, you can go to chrisfabrylive.org. You can actually listen to it online without purchasing it, but you can also purchase it. It's called The Apology. And if you go to chrisfabrylive.org, you'll see Steve Seiler and Michael Cusick's information there. Michael's the author of Surfing for God. And under both of their information, you can find out more about The Apology at Music for the Soul and their website. So go to chrisfabrylive.org and click on today's program. You can find out more about that. What does radical humility look like? And what about if you're married to someone who's dealing with a sexual addiction? Let's deal with that question first. Kay is on the line. Hi, Kay. Go right ahead.
Hi. I am so... You guys are getting the floodgate of women here, but I was standing at the kitchen counter making tacos for my daughter and myself, and I just... The tears just fell when I heard that song. I am married to a sex addict. We are separated as of now, both in therapy. What hurts so much in sexual addiction oftentimes isn't the addiction itself or the crimes or sins. It's what happens afterwards. The men stay in denial for quite a while. And there's so much anger involved in addiction that it comes pouring out at the women. And that sometimes is harder to take. So the apologies are sometimes years away in the way that they need to be. When you sang, Michael, about, you know, let me wash your feet, that's when I just stood over the sink and just bawled, because the humility is so touching in that song. The humility is often what is the last thing to come with an addict, and it's the case in our situation. There seems to still be a lot of denial, a lot of secrets, a lot of, the longer we're separated, it seems the worse sometimes the addiction gets, and the coldness and the meanness, and yet we're both in therapy. So this song is, it's very healing. It's amazing how healing it is.
Kay, thank you. Let me have Michael talk about that. From your perspective, is what Kay's saying, was that true? Was there a lot of anger and denial?
Yeah, absolutely. My own journey was that I was in about a five-year recovery process, and 3 years into my marriage, everything was exposed. So I had been doing a lot of internal work, and then I had what we call a relapse, and I fell back into it in a really major way. But when I was exposed in 1994, I call it almost like a second conversion, where it was the first time in my life I had been absolutely stripped down to nothing, and I was exposed and spiritually, emotionally naked, and thought I would lose the woman I loved and everyone dear to me. And so my journey immediately became, I will do whatever it takes. And how we define whatever it takes is really important, and that varies from pastor to pastor and therapist to therapist. But for me, the doing whatever it took meant sitting and hearing my wife's pain every day and sleeping on the living room floor while she cried herself to sleep every night. And all these years later, my heart still breaks over that. And had I not been able to go there, and if I just said, I'll do whatever it takes, I'll go to 90 meetings in 90 days, and I'll read all the literature on it, it wouldn't have required Jesus to do those things. Yes, for some men, they need his strength and empowerment to begin to walk that journey. But sometimes, it requires more faith, and I think it required a lot more trust for me to sit and to hear the pain and to keep my mouth shut and just to be present and to take some of the anger from her, as opposed to getting really busy and getting into a performance mode. One of the things I lament about addiction recovery in general in Christian approaches is that it puts people in too much of a performance mode, and it keeps them out of that place of actually experiencing powerlessness. The very biblical idea that all the 12-step groups are based on in the first step is that we realize that our life became unmanageable for whatever the addiction was, and that we are powerless to change it. And that's a very, very biblical idea. And so that other category of men who do keep secrets and they have anger, my prayer for you, Kay, is that as you're both in therapy and as you're in this place of restoration, that you allow your heart to heal and that you trust as long as it takes for his heart to heal. And one of the mistakes that couples make, especially in places of separation, is there's often pressure or financial need or for whatever reason, getting back together too soon, when it's oftentimes in that place of distance and separation that's really, really hard. That's where Jesus does his deepest healing work. And so I would say, in the midst of everything, remain true to what Christ is telling you in your heart, and then be patient and wait for him to heal beyond behavioral change. Freedom is...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, freedom is much more different than sobriety. And I would,
right.
I would wait for and pray for freedom.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kay. What was your question?
Yeah, I have a question. When you say that, that is, you know, because of the a support group I'm in, there are also some men in there who are sex addicts. And when I see recovery in them, it's the most beautiful, humble thing. And there's such sorrow, but it's a beautiful sorrow. And, you know, some of them have already lost their families from 20 years ago, and they're older men. And it's so sad to see that, because they say if there's one thing they could have in their life, it would be to go back, you know, and
right.
keep those families. I don't see that in my husband. We've been separated for 9 months. The exposure that you were talking about happened about 3 years ago, and we've done all kinds of things, from everything from deliverance to counseling. Both of us are grounded, you know, love the Lord Christians, but I don't see that. And when you were saying getting back together too soon, what if it's the opposite? I fear, and I know fear is not from the Lord, but I fear that it'll go the other way, because I don't know. How do you know when someone's serious? I've heard that many men have said, you know, I was in therapy and I was in support groups for years before I actually, what I consider recovery started. And that may be the case, but the hope is hard to have, you know. So that's what I'm asking. How do you, what made you get to that point where you actually, recovery happened and you actually just were broken and contrite?
Well, it was a long process, and indeed, your calling right now is to hope. And it's a dual kind of hope, where on the one level, you're hoping for and praying for your husband to change and have a real breakthrough that leads to freedom, but you, as you're learning, can't do anything to make that happen. And so that transitions you into a second kind of hope, which is where your hope has to be in the Lord, that really says, no matter what happens, whether he changes one iota or whether he has some major breakthrough, that I'm learning how to be okay in the one who loves me and who will never leave me or forsake me. And so that's the biggest thing that I would say to you. And in the midst of that, and living out of that reality of you being loved and your soul being well, that you have to have community and scripture and counsel and discernment, and ultimately remain true to Christ in you and what you know is right. There is a liability sometimes to separations that go on and on and on without either goals or structure or an end date, and that is that the longevity and the absence of structure and having some clear-cut things that you're looking for just allows it to almost dissolve into what eventually becomes the end of the marriage. So I think you have to trust deeply your heart and the Spirit of Christ within you. You have to have counsel. And then it sounds like it may be time to restructure and reevaluate where things are at and ask the question, what are we actually trying to accomplish here?
Yeah, those are hard questions. But I understand exactly what you're saying too, Kay, about the where is my hope? And it's not in him getting better and him changing. Your hope is, you know, is always rooted in God, in Christ, in his power, because that really, I think, is the only way that there's going to be a change here. But I have a lot of hope for you, and I think that's what you're saying, Michael. Your heart is being changed in the middle of this process, and that is reason for great hope, and I thank you for calling. I want to go to Esther real quickly in Florida. Esther, you heard this song today, but you had heard it before, I think, right?
That's correct. I just got that from my email just about, I would say, an hour and 15 minutes ago, and I listened to it while I was sitting here with my husband. And the moment I listened to it, and I was like, oh, my God, it touched my heart so deeply. But to me, it comes like this is the answer for my prayer. The reason being is because this is what I'm praying for, God to release me out of every anger. And I've been doing this prayer consistently now for, you know, more. And when I heard that, I'm like, oh, God is agreeing with me. So I encourage those women. I have forgiven everyone, and I have asked God to reveal to me those who has hurt me, including because I was also, and I from that song, believe it or not, I ended up sharing everything from my past with my husband because I was set back. Everything that the enemy stole away from my life, I need to take him back now. And I give him an example because I was talking to him. I give my husband an example. I said, you know, remember the children of Israel, how when they come out of Egypt, that they were supposed to go for a trip that was just last, I believe, 11 days, but they ended up in the wilderness for 40 years. That was a big setback. However, the Lord knows what he was doing, because if he had taken them straight up to the on that time for that 11 days, and they go straight to their place, they could have probably not known exactly what the Lord was doing in their lives, the good part about it. But God wants to heal you. He wants you to know more. He wants to get your attention. And how is he going to get your attention if you're not in the wilderness?
Well, there's a lot of people who are in that wilderness, Esther. I thank you for calling and responding. Before we take our break, let me go to Nani. Nani, you responded to the song that you heard from Michael and Steve, right?
I absolutely could not ignore it.
Why?
I could not ignore it because I've been waiting for 59 years to hear those words. I was born into a young couple who left my life when I was a year old. My mother and father abandoned me, my brother and sister. I was in the foster care system. I was abused in that system. I've been abused in the school system. I've been looking for that affirmation from my father to the point where he's been gentle with my heart for 30 years. In knowing him, he's been very careful and gentle with my heart in healing me. And what he's been doing with me lately is letting me know in a very gentle tone that he is attending to my heart, to the things that I couldn't even speak about. The things, I was raped at gunpoint. I've had abortions because I was looking for that kind of affirmation and love. And what the enemy intended for evil, God will use for good. I now am a single mother of a 36-year-old son who is disabled. And my father's story continues to be written through song, through my son's life, through the lives of whoever belongs to him. And I have to tell you, this song just got my attention. It grabbed my heart. And I pulled off the road, and I just said, thank you for seeing me, Father. Thank you for addressing these things that no man can address. I know that music is life to me.
I need to take a break here, but I want you to hang on. We're going to take our final break and come back. And I want Steve and Michael to respond to what Nani has just said. And I want you to hear the song again. They say you're not supposed to play a song twice in the same program. Well, I'm going to play it again before we end here today on Chris Fabry Live. Isn't it something how a song can reach this part of our heart or part of our soul? We're talking with Steve Seiler today with Music for the Soul, as well as Michael Cusick, who is a counselor. He's written Surfing for God. We have that link and the song, The Apology, at chrisfabrylive.org. We're going to hear it before we end here. Michael, respond to what Nani was saying. She's been waiting 59 years to hear what you said.
Well, Nani, when I heard you say that, you could not ignore it, and you've been waiting 59 years. It literally just took my breath away, and I just silently mouthed the words, thank you. Thank you, Father. And then to hear you talk about some of the very specific and profound wounding and pain and abandonment, and then to talk about this journey of your Heavenly Father and the things that you're learning and the way that you're trusting. I think the thing that struck me the most from your comments was how receptive and open your heart is to God's love, and also just how he's showing himself to you in such profound and intimate ways that he knew that you needed this. So I'm humbled and enormously grateful to be hopefully many voices that come to you and speak the truth about your dignity and value, and that these things never, ever, ever should have happened.
You have 1 minute, Michael, to talk about radical humility. What does that look like?
I define humility based on a quote from Thomas Merton, like the Catholic theologian who died in the 60s. He said, humility is being precisely the person you are before God and one other person. So we think of humility as beating ourselves up, but it's really trusting God with what we're really like at any given moment. So, you know, we know the passages in Scripture that say God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. There's a gift that our Father wants to give us when we trust him with who we really are. And one of the ways that we can manifest that on a face-to-face level is to trust not only God, but because God loves me and doesn't define me by my sin, I can turn to a woman or to a man. In the case of the song, I can turn to a woman and say, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Not because I'm somehow off the hook, but because of God's mercy and grace. My sins have been nailed to the cross, and because ultimately my identity is in Christ.
Yes. Well, I want you to hear it one more time if you didn't hear it earlier. A song by Steve Seiler and Michael Cusick called The Apology.
I speak on behalf of all men who have wronged you. I'm your brother, your father, your uncle, your husband, your teacher, your pastor, or anyone else who has hurt you. I'm so sorry for how you've been exploited, abandoned, diminished, and despised. For all the ways that you've been disrespected, I apologize. I speak on behalf of all men. Grandfather, your cousin, your boyfriend, your neighbor, your coach, or your counselor, or anyone else who has used you. I'm so sorry that you've been violated, dishonored, oppressed, objectified. felt degraded. I apologize.
Apology by Steve Seiler and Michael Cusick. Find out more at chrisfabrylive.org. Thank you for listening today. Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio in Chicago.